morning, God is meeting you right in that place. If you've been struggling in anxiety, He is meeting you right in the middle of the anxiety. If there are family problems in your family and you say, God, I need you to make a move, God is meeting you right where you're at. If there is sickness in your body, God is meeting you right in that place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you right now for your word, because God, it does not return void in the name of Jesus. And right now, God, in the name of Jesus, you said that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So God, in the name of Jesus, I bind up addiction in this place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I loose recovery in here right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that the anointing, it breaks the yoke. And so God, every yoke of bondage that's represented here, God, I ask that you would break it right now. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this service. Lord, I thank you that right now there's broken hearts and you're beginning to mend them right now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every single marriage in the place. I tell those marriages that they're strong. Lord, I ask for us to be able to forgive. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask for forgiveness to flow through us, God. Lord, everything that offends you that we're doing, God, I ask you right now to correct us. God, those that you love, you correct. And God, I ask that you show us things in our lives right now. And Lord, I turn this service over to you. I tell you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is always a blessing to be here. I will keep this real. If you don't know me well enough to know, I'm not going to sugarcoat the Word of God. The Word of God is going to stand on its own. If it offends you, that's really conviction. Amen. Most of the time when we get offended at something the pastor says, there's a little bit of truth there at least. And what we're feeling really is conviction. And I want to tell you first and foremost that God loves you. And God is not sitting here today looking at people in the congregation thinking about how mad or disgusted He is with you. You got to understand that about God. God loves you. And He's not walking in condemnation towards you, okay? He may convict your heart, but He is not condemning you. He loves you. He loves you. And He came to help you today. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to begin to read at verse 16. Now, this is forever going to be, and it always has been, a teaching church. So there's extra things that whoever stands behind this sacred desk, they're going to say things, and you're going to think, well, why are they telling it? Look here, I've been in church my whole life, and one thing that I understand is that not everybody understands certain things about the Bible. So because of that, I'm going to teach you. The book of Matthew was written by Matthew, okay? And Matthew was one of the disciples. And when we read the Bible, we are not reading fables. We are not reading stories. But what we're reading are written accounts. Accounts that took place to the point where they were documented and inspired by the Lord. But because these books of the Bible, some of them are books and some of them are actually letters, but because they were written by different authors, there are details of things in one book of the Bible. You could have one account, and then you can look in another book of the Bible, the same account, and there's going to be details in there that were missed in the first place that you read. And any time that I'm reading something out of the Bible, and it is an account of something that took place, I search the Bible out, and I see it in all the other places where it was documented, because when I want to know something, I want to know every detail. Because truly, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And because of that, it is so important that the believer knows what God has to say about them. If you're having a rotten day, you need to know that at the end of the day, God is still God. You can't find that anywhere else but the Bible. When there's something coming against you and your family, you need to know that the victory has already been won. You can't get that if you're not in His Word. When the infirmity wants to come and it wants to settle in your life and it wants to take your life, you need to know that when He hung on the cross, that by His stripes we are healed. That's not a thing of the past. That is for us right here and right now. But you have got to get into His Word, because when you get into the Word of God, it will get inside of you and it will begin to change your life. Because the Word of God, it is living, and the Word of God is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And because it's sharp, it has the ability to cut through all of our nonsense. How many can you keep it real in here today? You know you got some nonsense in your life. Amen. You know you're full of malarkey. I am. You are. And whoever's supposed to come in here and fill these empty seats, they will be too. And let me just tell you something. This is a teaching church, and I will tell you this, and I'm going to disclose this. You heard it from the horse's mouth. Okay? One thing that you need to understand about church is there are no perfect people in any church you will ever go to. People say, I'm not going to church. It's full of hypocrites. I got one better than that for you, baby. There's room for one more hypocrite. Come on in and sit down. Amen? There's room for one more. Because here's the truth. You can get offended at Walmart just the same as you can get offended in the church house. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are somebody that is easily offended, God probably sent you here for me to knock some of those edges off of you. Because, see, God wants you to do better. And there ain't nobody more church hurt than the pastor, I promise you. Brother Larry, is that right or is that right? That's right. That's right. Look here. God loves you. God wants His kids planted. He wants you planted. God's trying to get a hold of somebody in here this morning. God loves you. He loves you. And I keep hearing the word planted, so that's going to fall where it's going to fall. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 16. We're going to read an account today. I'm going to read it to you out of Matthew, and I'm going to read it to you out of Mark. And I want you to understand this. When you read the Bible, we're going to keep this real in here. We're going to keep it truthful. But how many of you, at least at one point in your life, when you read the Bible, you thought, that is boring? Okay. I get it. When I was growing up, we read the Bible. We had Bible study in our home every morning at 5:30. And let me tell you something. You don't have Bible study with a Puerto Rican, Italian man. Daddy, stand up so people know who you are. Or just wave. Just wave at him. He was so, and he still does, such a zeal for God that when we read the Bible, if we mispronunciated something, let me tell you something, we got that right. If we spent 30 minutes on that one verse, we got that right. And I'll never forget that there was one verse, one time, and I am not a morning person. I wasn't then, and I ain't now. I'm a mid-morning person. About 10 o'clock, I'm going to wake up and come to life, okay? But me and Casey, we were sitting there, and we were in Bible study, and there, I don't know where we were reading. He will probably name it off chapter and verse to you, but we were reading a part, and it said, and they were full of indignation, okay? And I kept saying about 15 times, kept reading, and they were full of indigestion. And he's not the type, he's not going to give the answer away. Kelly, read it again. I'd read it again. About 15 times. And my sister Casey, wave your hand. She's over there. She finally looks at me and she said, "Listen, stupid. It's indignation and not indigestion, and I need to get ready." We had to go to school after that. Here's the point I'm going to make to you. Something happened to me on the inside many, many years ago, because I knew that if I could ever be interested in the Word, that it would change my life. And I'm a preacher's kid, okay? I've spent my whole life working in our ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are someone that's not intrigued and inspired and a lover of the Word, you challenge yourself to get to that point, because it will change your life. And one day I prayed and I said, "God, I ask that you would make your Word come alive inside of me." And as I began to read His Word, that Word got into me so much that I fell in love with it. And this is pretty much the only thing that I read regularly, on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you, because it's the only thing that I'm extremely passionate about. Amen. This Word will change your life for the better. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, the first thing that you're going to notice in most of your Bible is that the title of this account is, in one way or another, just depending on the translation that you're reading it out of, it's going to be titled something about a rich young man. How many of you see that in your Bard? That's called a detail, and you need to pay attention to the details. So this young man, he was labeled. Why is this relevant to you? Because every single one of you got at least one label on you. Some people, they don't even know who they are. They're so messed up by this world. But I'm going to tell you something. You have at least one label on you, no matter what you think, and that is God's kid. So when everything tries to come against you and make you feel irrelevant, make you feel like nobody cares about you, I want you to understand that first and foremost, you're His kid, and that He loves you, and that His Word hasn't changed. It applies to your life. Get it inside of you. Let it change you. So this is the rich young man. And it says here in verse 16, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" Now go with me to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Once again, we are in this same account, different author. And you're going to see that there are different details in this verse, because this is a different person that wrote it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it said, "Now a man came up to Jesus." Now in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him." Now, do you see the difference in the detail? The first place that we read, it said a man came to Jesus. In the book of Mark, it said the man ran to Jesus. And when he got to Jesus, he fell on his knees and he knelt before Him. Many times, we get lost in the details of life. But I'm going to tell you something. God does not get lost in the details of your life. He pays attention to every single detail that's going to affect you. And He knows. Sometimes we are affected by the details. We think, "Well, God, what about this?" And it's the littlest thing. But let me tell you something. God has not forgotten about it. "As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, What must I do to inherit eternal life? This young man, he was in the book of Matthew, it kind of looks like, well, he just kind of moseyed up there. But in the book of Mark, we see there was an eagerness. He ran to him. And when he got there, he knelt down to him. There was an amount of sincerity in the book of Mark that was not noted in the book of Matthew. He was eager and he was sincere. A lot of times, we are in our life and we are, for one reason or another, hesitant to go to God. Well, I've messed up too much. That's a classic. I've messed up too much. I've done this for the millionth time. I've told God I would stop and I didn't stop. I promised God that I would do this and I didn't do it. I'm going to tell you something in here this morning. If that story is lining up with you right now, I'm going to tell you, go to God. Go to God. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy telling you that you done messed up too much. You haven't messed up too much. If you did, you would not be breathing. That would have been it. That would have been it. See, God has preserved you for a purpose. And you can always run to God. You can always go to God. You can always talk to God. And I encourage you to do that. So there was an amount of sincerity. He really wanted to know what he needed to do to make it to heaven. You need to search out what it really takes to be a child of God. That cannot be found anywhere else but His Word. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to pick up at verse 16 again. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Now a man came up to Jesus and he asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Now we see that this young man, he was thinking there was something that Jesus was going to say, a specific thing. And I'm going to tell you this, it's never just about one thing. And a lot of people, good people, think that if they do all of the good deeds, that is good enough, and it's not. You can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. What does that mean? You can do all of the good deeds. And I'm going to tell you something. If good deeds was all it took, a lot of people would be all right. They'd need to do nothing else. But it's not about just the good deeds. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about whether or not you decided to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Whether you decided to live for God on the good days, the bad days, the days that hurt you, the days that discouraged you, the days that broke your heart. See, the decision is not a one-time decision. Now, I know that may rock a lot of boats and a lot of denominational lines, but this is an interdenominational church, and I am really not about denomination. And I'll tell you, you have to wake up every single day, and you have to say, "I am a child of God today." And you're not going to feel like a child of God every day, because some days you're going to wake up and you're going to be mad at your husband, or you're going to be mad at your wife, or you're going to be aggravated. And you may not feel real great. You following me? How many of you wake up feeling saved and righteous every single day? I don't either, and thank God I don't live off of my feelings. Complete this sentence for me. Feelings are not... You can feel a certain way, but that doesn't mean it's accurate. I know.
Oh my gosh.
So he was thinking there was a specific thing, and that's why he asked, "What good thing do I need to do?" It's never about the good thing. Too many people shy away from God because they feel like they're not good enough. I've got to get some things fixed in my life before I go to church. I got to stop doing certain things before I have that conversation with God. No, you need to do it now. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. I'm going to go on to verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. And if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. And Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And in verse 20, he says, all these things I have kept. So I don't know if you're picking up on that. But Jesus began to give him a list. God will meet you right where you're at. This rich young man, he asked God, well, what thing can I do? And Jesus began to basically tell him the Ten Commandments. And he says, well, I've done all that. I'm going to go back to this concept. When it comes to where you're spending eternity, it's not a matter of a checklist on a list. It's about how you lived your life and what was the condition of your heart. How is that relevant to you today? I'll tell you how. And Christians are the worst because we're self-righteous. I'm going to say that again because I only got like two amens. That was a nugget, and I'm going to get some more amens if I can remember what it was I said. Right. I don't remember it. What was it? Amen. Christians are self-righteous. Amen. I mean, self-righteous to the core. Amen. Well, we shouldn't be like that. Now, I don't know where I was going with that, but I'll pick that up later. How many of you women have had the privilege of turning 40 and things are not the same? Please pray for me. I could be, and pray for Frank. I could literally be going into the room to get something, and I'm like, why am I here? I'll put the remote in the refrigerator. I do a lot of goofy things right now, and I'm like, I'm praying to God this is just like a 40-year-old thing, and we're going to get past this at some point. I don't know. I'm getting scared. All right. But it's never about the checklist. It's never about the checklist. We can get hung up on doing all the right things, and we get so routinistic that we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. Don't confuse yourself by thinking that if you're good enough or if you do enough good things, it's not about the good thing. Okay? I'm going to keep reading. So he said that I've done all these things. I've done it all. And then he asked God, yes, Jesus, what do I still lack? What do I lack? And what we're dealing with was a young man. Not only was he rich, but I believe wholeheartedly that he was very perfectionistic. He was a perfectionist. And he said, you gave me the list, but I've already done everything on the list. So what else do I lack? And really what he was searching for was he was searching for Jesus to say, you've done it all. You've done it all. You're good. And you have to be careful. Some of this message is about responses. When we don't get the responses that we want from people or from God, we get all upset about it. When you go to God, and when we go to people, sometimes what we're looking for is we're looking for confirmation and validation. And this young man, he was wanting Jesus to confirm and validate that he was good and there was nothing else for him to do. We have to be careful when we go to God and when we go to others that we don't already have the answer that we want from them in our mind. You ever go and talk to somebody and you know what you want them to say? I guarantee you we do this because when we have a bad day or when we have a moment, if the first person we call, whoever that person is for you, and we get on the phone with them, because really what we want when we tell them about the problem is we want them to be on board with us and our way of thinking. And who we call on those days tells everything. Right? I have different people I call. If I want somebody to come into agreement with me, I'm going to call one person. If I want somebody to not tell me no nonsense, I'm going to call Daddy. And if I really want somebody to really give me no nonsense, I'm going to tell my husband. Because those two men, they got their hands full, but they really try to keep me in line. It's a full-time job. When we go to God with the question, God, where am I lacking? God's going to keep it real with you. Where do I lack? Where do I lack? He's going to keep it real with you. And the question I have for you today is, do you like honesty? Do you like honesty? Can God come into your life and can He say, You lack in this area and you need to fix this. You need to work on this. Here this young man is and he's come to Jesus and he's done, in his mind, he's done it all. And then he's frustrated and he says, where do I lack? I encourage you today in your private time with God, go to God and ask Him where you lack. Where, God, where do I come up short? Where am I missing it? How many of you think that you've arrived at perfection? There's places in our life that if we would improve, some of the biggest, deepest matters of the heart that really get us, those would improve. Sometimes where we lack, where we're not at our best, that is tied to and connected to some of the deepest matters of the heart that we really need God to work through in our life. A lot of times they're connected. Ask God, God, show me where I lack. The problem is a lot of times we are so consumed with deflecting all of the stuff and blaming it on somebody else that we don't want to take no responsibility for the things that we've caused. Right. Well, yeah, I did that, but I did it because of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They did this, and that's why I did that. I don't care why you did it. If it was wrong, it was wrong. Right. Now, I have to, first of all, foremost, preach this to myself, and this is hard preaching for me to process. Because when I'm wrong and I don't think I'm wrong and it may take 2 or 3 days to see the wrong, that's a hard pill to swallow. Amen. I'm going to keep on reading. God will keep it real with you. When you ask Him where you lack, He's going to keep that real. And if you don't like honesty, you're going to be in a pickle. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 and 22. Here's this young man. He says, all these I have kept. And the young man said, what do I still lack? And in verse 21, Jesus answered. And as I read this yesterday, I stopped right there at those two words. And I just began to thank God for all the times that He answered me. For the times that He answered and it was something that I didn't want to hear, but He loved me enough to give me the answer I needed to hear. Do Do you know how amazing it is that these two words were written in His Word? Jesus answered. See, the Word of God says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And a lot of the saving that goes on throughout our lifetime is He saves us from ourselves multiple times. Sometimes we are headed in the wrong direction. Maybe we're going and making a decision. It's an emotional decision. It's all wrong for us. And He steps in and He intervenes for us. But a lot of the saving that goes on is saving us from ourselves and our bad choices. Jesus answered. If you're somebody and you've spent a lot of your life in saying, I can't hear from God, I don't know what He's saying, get alone with God. You're going to have to shut some things off. You're going to have to shut some things down. You're going to have to get some people out of your life. Don't be surprised when the Lord separates people from you. He wants the holy and the unholy. He wants you separate. That's why He says in His Word, don't be unevenly yoked. Am I saying be mean to non-believers? Absolutely not. I would actually say the opposite. Love them, help them, try to get their souls won. But at the end of the day, don't align your life with somebody or some friendship or some relationship, some business partnership with a non-believer, because they're not going to have the same belief system as you. Going to be a constant problem. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, see, Jesus knew He was dealing with a perfectionist. And that's why He said, well, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, come follow me. Be careful when you go to God or you go to a godly person with a question like, where do I lack? Because if you've already decided the answer that you want to hear, you're going to be disappointed. And I would encourage you to stop coming up with the answers that you want to be told by God. See, sometimes God's going to tell you what you don't want to hear. And it's because He knows more about the situation than what you know. Amen. God knows more. Amen, for the person here today, and you're saying, God, why did you let that happen? God, how did that happen? God, why didn't this come through? I'm going to tell you why. It's either it's not time, or it's not His will. If it's not His will, He has something better. Okay? I'm going to say that again. There's two reasons why you could be in this predicament. It's either not time, or it's not His will. If it is not God's will, He has something better for you. Don't be afraid to hold out for the best. There's too many of God's kids that sit there and settle. Don't you think God can do better than just you settling? I'm asking you, can God do better than just you settling? He can. In every area of your life. Every area. And sometimes because of the terrible things that we've done, we're like, I'll just take this, God, because I've been a bad girl. I've been a bad person, and if you'll just give me this, I'll be happy. No, you need to do away with that way of thinking. If you're His kid, it is not dependent on how you've acted. It's dependent on the fact that you're His kid. He will draw you into correction. He will change your life, and He wants to bless your life. And He's not sitting there thinking about what you did 10 years ago that you hoped to God nobody ever finds out about. He's done away with that. He doesn't even remember it. If you got it under the blood, it's done. It's over with. He doesn't want you to remember it either. So walk away free from that. And he tells this guy, this little guy, he was just a perfectionist. He says, well, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Our culture does not like the type of honesty that is found in his word. Our culture is not a lover of honesty. We think that we are, because we think that we've created our own honesty, and we're living off of that instead of the word of God, and that's why everything's screwed up. Oh, I'm going to stick to my own truth. That's why your life's messed up. Your truth won't buy you nothing. Our culture is totally messed up. We'll sit here and we'll say silly stuff like, be whoever you want to be. That is the worst advice. Do not tell your kids that. Why? Because that's stupid. And if you don't like the pastor saying stupid, you best go somewhere else. Because if it's stupid, I'm going to call it stupid. Because if something just like that offends you, you best hold out, because I got more than that. You don't need to tell your kid, be who you want to be. You need to tell your kid it is so important that you are who God has made you to be, that you grow up and that you live out what He put you on this planet to do. Amen? That's important, because we got a bunch of kids and they don't know their rear ends from a hole in the ground, and they're committing suicide every other second because we're failing as parents, and we won't just say, you be what God told you to be. You be what God had for you to be. When He put you and He knit you together in my womb, you be that. But because we feel guilty about everything that we do with our kids, mama's in here, how many of you? I don't care what kind of kids you got. You may got a grown kid, a little kid, a big kid. I don't care. But you've got mama guilt, and it gets you. Amen. Do not tell your kids to be what they want to be, because they're going to jack that all up. You do better to love that kid enough, and I got to preach it to myself, and there's times where I am not preaching what I say because it hurts too much, because you don't want to be the one to just woman up and say, heck no, little Johnny. Because you don't want to go to bed feeling sad because you felt like you were mean to your kid. I get it. If you don't want to be grieved in your older age because of what they're doing, if you've got them and you're raising them right now, you say you be who God made you to be. Amen. And you owe it to your children to have them in church. I don't care what you think that you got an excuse. You owe it to them. You're going to make a decision. They're either your kids or they're God's kids. But our culture screwed up, and the parents are to blame. And no, your kid is not a cat. I'm not going to get off on that today. That burns my rear end up. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Verse 20, you may not like how honest I am, but you will not be sleeping in these services because I will keep it lively. That's one thing you can count on. And if it ain't lively enough, it'll be cold enough. That also happens when you get 40. You're like, I don't know if I'm hot. I don't know if I'm cold. I don't know if I'm happy or if I'm mad. But it's going to shift the next 5 minutes. So we're just... So Mark chapter 10, verse 20. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. He kept telling Jesus, I've done all of that. I've done all that. Give me the next thing. Because he's still going off of an imaginary list that doesn't exist. And Jesus looked at him, and this is the detail that is not found in the book of Matthew. And that's why we're here instead of Matthew. to some of these accounts, I really want to know the very detail, and I want to know the heart of Jesus when he was there that day. Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. He looked at him, and he loved him. Here this young man is. He runs to Jesus. He knelt before him. What do I have to do to have eternity with you? Jesus started a little list just to prove to the kid it's not about a list, because he knew he was going to say, I've done all that. And he looked at this young man, and it was important enough for Mark to notate that he loved him. I think it's important for you to know that when you go to God, when you go to Jesus, even if you're wrong, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. If you are in here and you are doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, and that is keeping you away from going to God, go to God. Amen. Go to God. You say, well, I don't have any intention on quitting this, and I feel bad. I feel like I can't talk to him because I know I've got this sin in my life, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Look here. Stop worrying about all that stuff. Don't you think God can sort some things out with you? Amen. 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 He knows where you lack. And he loves you. And that was an important detail of this account, that he looked at him and he loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. Now, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. See, Jesus didn't have a long list of things that the boy hadn't done. But the Word of God says he had one thing that Jesus pinpointed that he lacked. I think a lot of people have that one thing that they really just don't want to let go of. That thing is an idol for you. It may be a secret sin. It may be something that it's not necessarily sinful, but you know that God doesn't want it in your life and you keep it there, and therefore it's become sin. It may be something that you're keeping and you love it more than you love God. It's more important to you than God. And Jesus said, one thing that you lack. Go sell everything. Everything that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. That was the thing that kept this young man from following him to begin with. It's not an accident that in both Gospels, the title of this account is something to do with a rich young man, because the rich part was his label, because it was his identity. It's what he was known for. It's what he was known for. What are you known for? I'm going to let that question just rest with you. When Jesus told him to go and sell everything, and he said, this is the one thing, give up your wealth. Jesus' statement, that exposed instantly this young man's heart. It is not a matter of a checklist. It is a matter of your heart. And when Jesus said, go and sell everything that you have, go give to the poor, go feed to the poor, and then you come follow me, that exposed right where that young man was. The truth will set you free. When you go to God and you say, God, where do I lack? and He speaks the truth in your life, you then have a decision to make. You either want to follow Him or you want to keep that idol in your life. But it exposed for this young man what was the most important thing. God will never change His mind on what's right and wrong. A lot of people would read this account, and we would think that this was all about money, and it really had nothing to do with the money. You can't even talk about money in church because people get all offended. Oh, that church is all they want your money. No, that's what Walmart wants. Okay? And the more you go in there, the more of it you're giving them. You ever go in there and you come in there for taco seasoning, you left with like 20 things. And then you forgot the taco seasoning. Happens to me every time. And the scary thing is that happens when I have a list. And I can have taco seasoning at the very top of the list. I got everything but the taco seasoning. I got like 25 extra things. I didn't even need those. But they were on sale, so I told myself I had to have them. Don't be offended when certain subjects are talked about. If you got somebody that loves you in your life and they're your pastor, they should be able to talk freely. Amen. It was not a money issue. What it was is that it was an idol, and it was the one thing that Jesus wanted him to lay down because it was the most important thing. It was the most important thing to him because it was his identity. And a lot of times we're unwilling to, we've got something in our life and we think we just have to have it so much. We just need it so much. It defines who we are. And we're unwilling to just lay it down at the foot of the cross and just accept what we're supposed to be in life. You either want to do what you were put here to do or not. My first year of pastoring, I think all hell broke loose. I literally do. Hell on earth. And I asked God, God, why would you let this stuff keep happening? Why so much heartache? And He said, Kelly, because you're going to take quitting off of the table and you're going to do it on year one. So we're going to go down this road together. And by the time we're done with your first year, you're going to work this quitting business out of your system because I'm going to wipe it off of the table because I need to know that on your worst day, I still got my pastor and they're in line with what I want them to do for that church. And you know, let me tell you something. By the end of that year, every single thing had broken loose in my life for the bad. But I'll tell you, the best thing came out of that year. I was able to take quitting off of the table and just surrender and say, I'll do your will. I'll do your will. See, if God the Father expected Jesus on the cross to say, Lord, nonetheless, your will be done. See, if Jesus was expected to say that, so are you. So are you. When God asks something of you and you don't want to give it up, when He asks you, does he have your whatever it is, does He have it from you? See, because you can fool everybody, including yourself, but you can't fool God. Amen. He either has your heart and your soul, or He don't. And all of the fence riders, what they are really is lukewarm. And He says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Amen. What is He asking for a decision to be made? Please be hot or cold. People don't like honesty that's found in the Word. Anything that you can't surrender is something that's already ruling you. Anything that you can't surrender is something that is already ruling you. I'm going to say it one more time. Anything that you cannot surrender, anything that you can't give to God, that thing, it is your idol, but it is also, it's already ruling you. What does God say in His Word? I am a jealous God, and I will have no other gods before me. I won't have it. I want you. And we sit here and we think, God, I got to do better just to be able to come to you. No, you don't. He just wants surrender. He wants you. He wants you. Well, I'm not good enough. Who the heck is? Can we just do away with the silly excuses and realize ain't nobody good enough? There was one good enough, and we crucified him. And that was the cost of eternity in heaven. And he willingly did that. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And one thing that you lack, he said, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He went away sad. He went away discouraged because when the truth was exposed, see, God has a way. When you go to him and you say, what do I lack? And he reveals it to you, you're either going to get it straight or you're going to just realize you ain't ready to get it straight and you're going to keep on. And for this young man, he was unwilling to give up the one thing that he was asked of. And here's what we got to ask ourselves. Do we not think that God would have given him more than he had to begin with? See, a lot of times we're keeping something from God because we're so insecure about what we'd look like without it, or would we have enough, or would we whatever. Look here. When God asks you to give it up, you're going to end up with something far better than whatever it was you had in the first place. God just wants to know, does he have you? Does he have you? And really what that boils down to is, does he have your obedience? If I asked right now who all loves God in this place, you'd be like, oh yes, I love the Lord. I love God. And then if we stripped away and we didn't see Cece or Jeff, we just saw all of our actions, we'd see who really loved God. Because our actions would tell on us. What we were willing to do would tell on us. What we were willing to not do would tell on us. Our words would tell on us. I'm not asking you to be perfect. Because really there is no such thing. I'm just asking you to be saved. Because when you really are saved, God will have you. And if there's something ain't right in your life and he comes to you and he asks you to change it, you'll change it. Not because of anything other than the fact that you love him more than you love anything else. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The Word of God says, he went away. He went away. What does that mean? Jesus gave him truth, and the truth turned him away. What will you do with the truth? It will either set you free or you will keep on going with whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you something about truth. Nowhere in this account, nowhere, because it didn't happen, truth doesn't chase. It stands. Amen, amen. Jesus did not go chase him down and say, okay, I'll change my mind. I'll give you something easier to do. Truth doesn't chase. It stands. Jesus did not chase him down. He will meet you right where you're at, but then he will let you choose. And that is biblical because in his word he says, now you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Because see, it's your choice. It's your life and it's your choice and you get to choose. But our choices are what is clarifying the place where we're going. And a lot of people don't like to hear this, and pastors are shying away from saying it. But by golly, I'm going to tell you today, you'll either make it to heaven or you'll burn in hell, and that's going to be your choice. And I am not a fire and brimstone preacher, but I'm going to give you that reality. You are not coming back here as a butterfly or a dog or whatever. You're going to go one or two places. And you get to choose where that is.
Amen.
And your choices get you to either place. And in your heart. Last place for me this morning. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I've put it out. I could not have said anything more real, I don't think, today. It's out there. My part is winding down. It's my job to deliver the message, to deliver it the way He delivered it to me. It's your job to figure out what you do with it. You're either going to live this sermon out, or you're going to go out and you'll not let it change you. There were parts of this message, I have no doubt, that convicted people, that there was a little sting there. It hit you in a place. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. A lot of times we're asking God, God, where are you? And He's saying, I am right here. I am right here. Here I am. And do we see that? There's an exclamation part after the word am. Here I am. He's excited to be where He is in this verse. Where is He? Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And I knock. I knock at that place. What is that? The place in your heart. I used to think that this verse was only about salvation. Salvation is just the brushing surface. Because, see, there's idols and there's things in our life that God has been telling you right in the middle of this service. I want that from you. I want that from you, and I ain't got it from you. And you know that's the next thing. What is the knocking? The little prick in your heart that you got today. Behold, I stand at that door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice, see, have you been able to hear His voice this morning? Can you hear Him? And opens the door. And opens the door. God can't open the door for you. All He can do is knock at it. I'm going to say it again. He cannot open the door for you. All He can do is knock on it. He is not a God of disorder. Everything that goes on in His Word is in order. I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What does that mean? He's going to come into whatever part. He's going to show you where you need help. He's going to show you where you need to change. I have two questions today and 3 minutes to ask them. Is there anybody in the place? And I don't do this every service. I probably do this less than 10 times a year. Is there anybody in the place and you say, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need Him and I need to choose Him. Number one. If you do, you need to come up here. Is there anybody and you say, I've been away from Him. And I need to declare today that I'm coming back to Him. I'm going to ask you to come to the front and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to let that sit for a moment. Okay. The next question. And don't stand if you ain't willing to do what you say. Because, see, God is not a man that He should lie. Everything that He says and everything He promises, He's going to fulfill it. Don't stand up in church and lie to God. But if there are some things during this service and you thought, she's preaching about that idol that I've got in my life, and there's this thing, and I've just had it. I know it's there, and I know God wants it gone. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're willing to give it to Him, if you're willing to give it to Him, because, see, I'm going to tell you something. I'm good with nobody standing. Because, see, I don't want people to have to have God say, why did you stand and lie to me? You may be standing there and you may be saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to give this up to you. You don't have to know how you give it up. You just have to say, God, I want to give it up. And Lord, I ask that you take it right out of me. And when He comes in and He swoops that up out of you, you don't go back to the vomit that we have. Amen? Like the dog in the Word of God that is described. See, for everybody standing, He loves you enough to bring you here today to convict that heart, because He wants you to see, I want this from you. I'm going to tell you, whatever it is that you're standing for, it's not making you better. And if you'll give it to Him, you're going to be better off for doing that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over everybody that's standing. God, I believe that during this service, you walked right up to them and you told them where they lack. God, I ask you to help them deal with the lack right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're reaching down and you're removing the problem. And God, I ask that you to encourage us to hand it off to you. God, to take our hands off of it. Lord, to give it to you. God, to walk off from it totally free. God's telling somebody today, it's just a matter of you giving it to me. You can walk away free from it today. It's a matter of what's really in your heart. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I ask that you would bless people. Lord, I ask that you would keep them. Lord, I ask that you would make your face shine upon them. And God, in Jesus' name, I speak to peace right now to come down and to begin to rest on your kids. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we've got an awesome...